You may be a Minnesotan if you've never met any celebrities. You may be a Minnesotan if all vacations are in-state and up north. You may be a Minnesotan if you know what's knee-high by the 4th of July. If you know the meaning of phrases such as cow-tipping and snipe-hunting. If you know which leaves make good toilet paper. That's for the Boundary Waters crew, right? You may be a Minnesotan if you assume that when you say Twin Cities, people actually know what you're talking about. If you have ever apologized to a telemarketer. Minnesota nice, I guess. You may be a Minnesotan if you drink pop and not soda. You may be a Minnesotan if all your women are strong and all your children are above average. Get the reference there? Some of you will. You may be a Minnesotan if there is no such thing as a spring high school sports season. Those poor baseball teams. You may be a Minnesotan if you think of Spam as a quality all-purpose meat product. If you've enjoyed numerous potluck dinners. If you have 10 favorite recipes for venison. If you own at least one item that says, I'd rather be fishing. Did I get an amen out of the sound booth? All right. If you can list all the Dales, right? Rosedale, Southdale. If mayo is not something you put on a sandwich. You may be a Minnesotan if you've been to the top of the IDS Tower, if you think that Lutherans and Catholics are the two major religions of the world. For those who were raised in the Twin Cities, you may be a Minnesotan if you remember WLOL. Anybody else out there? All right. I don't want to work. Do you remember? I don't know. Heinz and Berglund Morning Show. Three more. You may be a Minnesotan if your sports teams are the Twinkies and the Queens. When you talk about an opener, you're not talking about cans. And you may be a Minnesotan if you go home for Christmas, Thanksgiving, and harvest. These are characteristics of Minnesotans. I want to start a sermon series today. It's going to be an occasional series, one that is not going to be all at once. We'll come back to it now and then. And it's going to be an ongoing series because it'll be things that we need to keep hearing. The series is going to be titled Characteristics of Christ Followers. Okay? Characteristics of Christ Followers. None of these characteristics will include eating Spam. That's optional. That must have been on the unclean list in the Old Testament. Yeah, that's right. We need a Sunday school about that. All right. So I've told you that I'm not so big on using the term Christian anymore. I like the term. I just think it conjures up too many not-so-hot images in people's minds now. And I don't think that it necessarily defines for most people in America today what Jesus was calling people to. I think for many, it might just mean a loose affiliation. You know, sure, I believe in Jesus. I may never have cracked open the Bible. I may not ever think about God in my daily life, but yeah, I'm a Christian. Jesus didn't call us to cultural Christianity, did he? He's calling for us to be disciples. So I love the term disciple. That's what we are. That's what we're called to be. And I like the term Christ followers. Now, my belief is that most people in the room here today desire to be Christ followers, not casual Christians. So this series will contain instructions for those of us who want to be defined that way. We'll ask together, what does the Bible say about how I should be living? If I am a true follower of Jesus, what kind of behaviors, what kind of attributes should I be displaying in my life? What are characteristics of Christ followers? For our sermon today, we're going to look at just five verses from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I don't know if you'd like to follow along in your Bible. You can turn there now, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. The words will be on the screen, of course. And I'll be reading from the New International Version, as usual. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christ followers in the city of Philippi. And he says this: "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Characteristic number one: Christ followers should be gentle. Let your gentleness be evident to all. It's interesting that God himself, a couple of times in the Bible, is described as gentle. This is the same God who is a fire of righteousness. The same God who has made very clear that if you don't turn to him, that you will not survive. The all-powerful God, the creator of the most distant star, a warrior who will one day bring the nations to their knees, this God is also gentle. 1 Kings 19, God is talking to his servant Elijah, and he says this to him: "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And God spoke to him. Gentle. Jesus, who told us that if we ever want to see a picture of God, we can just look at him, at Jesus, says this. Well, he described himself in this way, found in Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm just going to say too, Joni, this is the third Sunday since I've been here that you've picked the verse I'm preaching on for the front of the bulletin. I don't know how that happens. We don't talk about it. When God needs to come up against evil and sin, he will rise up in his furious might and no one will be able to stand against him. But the same God also reaches out to the broken and the lonely and the searching with gentleness and love. Isn't that how you want your dad to be? Especially when you're growing up. You know, if some kid is hurting you at school, or some neighbor kid is picking on you or picking on your sibling, or worse yet, if someone's breaking into your house or you're coming at your mom or you, you want your dad to appear out of nowhere and lay the smack down. You want him to be a warrior in those moments and come in full strength. But in your daily life with him, you want your father to be gentle with you. When you're a child, you want your father to read stories to you and to play catch and always to be there for you, to listen to you when you're happy, when you're sad. We said a couple weeks ago that God is our true parent, and even if your own father has let you down, God is the one who will be a parent to you in the correct way. And he'll demonstrate this. God will use his might when he needs to, but gentleness is a core characteristic of who this God is. And it needs to be a characteristic of those who are Christ followers as well. If you're familiar with the writings of the Apostle Paul, you know he often has lists of characteristics, and gentleness is almost always on the list, in addition to the passage we just read this morning. Gentleness. The Apostle Peter also gets into the idea. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness. Do it with respect. And back to Paul in 2 Timothy 2, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 15 reminds us that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Can I suggest to you that this gentleness does not just apply to our fellow human being? This might be a hard sell in farm country, I don't know. I believe that this gentleness should be demonstrated by Christ followers to living beings of all kinds. Yeah, you know, we are instructed in Genesis to subdue the earth and have rule over the animals. And clearly there are times when critters get into places that they need to be removed from, either by moving them or killing them. I get that. Humans are more important, all right? I know I've killed way more bugs this year that have gotten into our house than I care to. And, you know, if a squirrel moves in, I'm not going to allow that squirrel to stay there out of the kindness of my heart. And if I planted a crop, I can imagine I would take some pretty firm measures to make sure it was not going to be destroyed by insects or animals. So, yes, human beings are more important. And, yes, death and pain are a part of this world order. But you know what? That doesn't mean that we need to unnecessarily bring death and pain to animals and these beings. We are life givers as part of Christ's body. We are to be about giving life, not causing pain unnecessarily. So let your gentleness extend to these creatures as well. Be a gentle person. But of greater importance, treat your fellow human being with gentleness. Be ready to fight against evil if you need to. But respond to people in grace. Imitate Christ. Show softness toward children. Be gentle. It's a characteristic of a Christ follower. Characteristic number two from our passage in Philippians. Christ followers should not be anxious, but should give their concerns over to God. We should not be anxious, but we should give our concerns over to God. We know this one, but do we do it? No. That is true. It's a hard one to do sometimes. Have you been worried about something in this last week? Something that's just consuming your thoughts? Are you stressed out? The Bible tells us that if you're a Christ follower, you don't have to do this to yourself. You can give it to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And don't miss the thanksgiving part. It's just our human nature. We spend so much time thinking about the things that are amiss in our lives, and it's kind of easy to forget about the blessings that are still there. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about the situation of not having a job. I don't mean to pick on you, or I'm not picking on you, because there's more than one person in our congregation, Maria, that doesn't have a job. I choose this simply because I think that many of us have been in that situation before, or at least we can imagine it, right? I know that I went through a period very close to that. I remember a very panicky feeling coming across me in my daily life. Does the Bible say here that God will answer your prayer for a new job immediately? Nope. Does the Bible say that after you pray that you no longer need to be diligent about searching for the next job? Diligent about figuring out ways to network, thinking outside the box, all of these things that we talk about? churning out applications? No, the Bible doesn't say that either. What the Bible says here is that what you ought to do is tell God of your need and then trust Him to take care of you. And the Bible asks you to not be anxious. Trust Him with it. Elsewhere, the Bible tells us that God will provide for those who are truly following Him. Now, that provision may not come in the way and the timing that we want it to. But it says He'll provide. Look to Him. Trust God to work it out for you in the timing that He thinks is correct. And this goes for any scenario that we're struggling with, right? What's been bugging you lately? Pray about it. Give it to God. Don't be anxious. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, Christ followers should not be anxious, but should instead give their concerns over to God. Our third and final characteristic for the morning is this. Christ followers should think about life-giving things. Verse 8 in our Philippians passage said, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." These are descriptions of things in the world that come from God. Lovely things that He has created, excellent things, praiseworthy things. Think about these things. And these are descriptions of a way of living that God has provided for us, that He teaches and requires. This way of living, it's a way of truth. It's a way of purity. It is noble. It's admirable. Paul says, think about these things. Let your mind be occupied by them. What do we think about in our daily lives? Let your mind spend its time thinking and pondering how to continue walking in this way that God has given. God's ways lead to life. And I always, in my own head anyway, and I'll probably say it out loud here with you many times, I think of capital L, life. God's ways lead to capital L, life. Walking in God's way will lead to adventure. Walking in God's way will lead to healing for you and maybe those who come into contact with you. Walking in God's way will lead to experiencing the feeling that it's better to give than to receive. It will lead to the satisfaction of knowing that you helped another person better their life, or you helped another person know that they are loved, or you helped another person come to a saving knowledge of a merciful God. Walking in God's way allows you to become a life giver and participate in the program of the life-giving God with His Spirit. So let your mind ponder and think about these things, how you can improve each day in walking this path of truth, nobility, and excellence. Let your mind spend its time thinking about and enjoying the wonderfully amazing things that God has created in this world. There are plenty of them. Let yourself become fascinated by exploring nature. Find a great place to take a hike and go do it. Get outdoors. Maybe pick up a natural science magazine just for the point of learning about the universe and the world. It's incredible what God has done. It'll blow your mind. God has provided so many wonderful things for us to discover. Or dive into music. Not music with lyrics encouraging immoral behavior, of course, but dive into music. God created it. He gave us the ability to sing and to play instruments, to fashion instruments. He put within us something that responds to these notes and these melodies. Music can create emotions within you that almost are very rarely experienced in our day-to-day lives. It has power, it has beauty to it. Now, I love rock and roll. It's my favorite. But don't get stuck there, you know? Explore jazz, explore classical, find out about these things. Be an inquirer. Enjoy them. think about these excellent things. Same thing can be said for sports. Sports are a great thing when being done morally and ethically. And I think that they do fit under the category of God-created and blessed activity. So go ahead, enjoy them. But don't get stuck there. There's so much out there to explore and enjoy. Maybe our goal should be to read 3 novels this year. Maybe we ought to commit to learning and studying history, to studying the peoples of this world and their cultures. You know, these are the things that color our lives. They're life-giving things. Satan's offerings are Turkish delight for those Narnia fans out there. His offerings are sweet at first, but they will make you sick in the end. They taste good, but they're never filling. You'll never be able to get enough. And these things will entrap you. Satan's offerings are destructive and they take life. So don't fall to the temptation. Don't dabble in these things and waste your time with them. They'll bring you down. They're only keeping you from spending time thinking about the things that will lift you up and bring you, capital L, life. So, think about godly, life-giving things. Check in with yourself now and then. What am I spending time thinking about? This is a characteristic of a Christ follower. Stephen Curtis Chapman sings that there's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven, and I think he's right. I mean, just look at these 3 things. They're essentially commands, right? Be gentle. Don't be anxious. Think about life-giving things. We don't like commands, do we? But look at the benefits for following them. When you present your request to God, he says that you can let go of your anxiousness. Let him deal with it, and then you will be given godly peace. That's a nice benefit from following a command. And when we think about godly life-giving things instead of mind-numbing things, or worse yet, Satan's offerings, when we think about godly life-giving things, then Paul says, the God of peace will be with you. You will have peace. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound better than conflict, stress, depression, anger, peace? It's a benefit for walking the road that leads to heaven, for walking in God's way. And don't you think that others might notice this? If you become, or maybe you already are, a person who is gentle, a person who is rarely anxious but exhibits this utter confidence in God to take care of things, if you are a person who is alive with interest in the world and all of these amazing things there are to discover, and you think about them and you explore them, I mean, don't you think a person like that is just attractive? People will notice that. Things may go well with you because of characteristics like this. What a surprise. God knows what he's doing. He knows how we're supposed to work because he made us. No better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. So, here is some food for thought for you in these coming days, in this next week of our lives, as you have your rocking chair moments with God. Ask yourself, are you demonstrating these characteristics? And if not, what can you do to start demonstrating them? Be a gentle person. Don't be anxious. Give it to God. Think about, let your mind be occupied by life-giving things. Characteristics of Christ followers. Let it be so.